Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Lord, I thank you for your anointing to teach tonight in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. The eyes of everybody here, their eyes of their understanding, the eyes of their heart be enlightened, and they know the hope of your calling, the greatness of your power, and the riches of your glory in the name of Jesus. Those three things I declare you get revelation of: the hope of your calling, what's the plan, and the riches of the glory, the purpose, and the exceeding greatness of his power, the power of God to carry those things out. I declare that you have revelation, hallelujah, of the plan, the provision, and the power to carry out the plan of God for your life tonight. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. I declare you have the spirit of wisdom and revelation on you. In Jesus' mighty name, hallelujah. And everybody said amen. Amen. Glory, glory to God. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. For this cause also, since the day that we heard it, I do not cease to pray for you and desire that you be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Oh, this is so good. Hallelujah. The knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. God wants you to have knowledge of his will in all wisdom. Through wisdom, God framed the world. Hallelujah, by the word. God did it through wisdom. I just want to talk about that for just a second. That means, you know, through wisdom. There are things in this building that when we were doing construction that took wisdom to do. Johnny was a part of that, helping figure out different things and electrical and different things like that. It took wisdom and understanding. Well, it's the same way, the way that the world was built. It's not a genie thing. Not even God, please hear me right now, not even God framed the world with just magic power. He didn't just say, light be, and God, having no understanding about how light works, all of a sudden the sun appeared, and it was just this supernatural object in the middle of the solar system that was emitting light. I was trying to say eliminating. That's emitting light. But the sun is actually scientific. The sun actually has wisdom behind why it emits light. It's a gigantic ball of gas and that's burning, and it's emitting light. There's actually wisdom behind how the sun is emitting light. There's actually wisdom behind at night how we have light at night through the moon. God just didn't make at nighttime randomly the sky just to brighten up out of nowhere supernaturally by angels flapping their wings or something weird. It actually makes sense. So God, through wisdom, founded the world. So God is telling you right here that he wants you to have the same wisdom. The same wisdom that God built the sun with. The same wisdom that God flung the universe into existence, made the earth spin on its axis at about whatever degrees perfectly and orbit the earth and the moon. He wants to give you the same kind of wisdom. Amen. Hallelujah. And spiritual understanding. I need to move faster because we got to talk about thankfulness tonight. And spiritual understanding. But I just had to say this. God fill you with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Wisdom is knowledge in the natural realm. Wisdom is knowledge in the natural realm. That's why when you hear about the nine gifts of the Spirit, there's the word of wisdom. What is that? It's a word, it's a supernatural word of wisdom. Wisdom being knowledge in the realm of the natural. In other words, it's a supernatural word of knowledge in the realm of the natural. Wisdom is knowledge of what to do in the realm of the natural. You can know everything about your life that God knows. You can know everything about your miracle that you're believing God for that God knows. Hallelujah. And spiritual understanding is knowledge in the spirit. So you can have all of the knowledge in the natural, and you can have all of the knowledge in the realm of the spirit. That's good stuff right there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That you might, in verse 10, walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. So when you have wisdom and knowledge and spiritual understanding, you can do these things. Verse 11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You got to understand something about the Apostle Paul. He is the king of the run-on sentence. The Apostle Paul writes, so there's actually no end to this passage. I mean, you can't find a place to stop where he actually finishes a thought. He just keeps going and going and going because the mysteries of God, the revelation of God, one thing links to another. The love of God links to the faith of God. The faith of God relates thanks to the grace of God, and you just keep going. So you can get so much out of just these several verses right here, but we'll just stop right there where he talks about thanksgiving. And verse 11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. And verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father. So that part, giving thanks is not something that's just an emotional thing. Well, I just felt thankful. I didn't feel thankful today. I felt ungrateful today. So I'm just going to be mad about everything. I'm going to mistreat everybody because that's the way that I feel. The bottom line is that most Christians treat thankfulness as an emotion. They treat thankfulness as a like an attitude, or whether I just felt grateful for something that somebody did for me, but I don't feel grateful today. But thankfulness is not that at all. Thankfulness is actually something very powerful that results from getting revelation from God and standing in who you are in Christ. God does not just throw the word thankfulness in here for the fun of it so people can just, you know, have an emotional feel. But he says, strengthened, giving thanks unto the Father who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So here it culminates, or a big part of what Paul is saying is giving thanks. Being thankful for what God has done is a huge part of walking in victory in your life. I remember Kenneth Copeland saying this back 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago. He suddenly started having severe back problems that prevented him from traveling. He had to cut down on some of his traveling ministry, and it was so bad that he didn't know what he was going to do. And he said Keith Moore called him and gave him a key that helped him get the victory over and healing in his back, and that was simply being thankful. Hallelujah. All right, now let's go to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7. I want to give you some scripture, and then I'll start really kind of digging into about being thankful. Just turn a page over if you need to. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Well, I thought I needed to abound in warfare tongues. Well, you need to pray in tongues. I thought I needed to abound in shouting. I thought I needed to abound in the healing anointing. You need to abound in those things. But the word of God says here, abounding with thanksgiving. You see, we just breeze right over thanksgiving because we think it's just a little emotional feeling. You know, somebody bought you lunch and you said thanks for buying me lunch. But thanksgiving is actually something much more powerful. The word of God here says you need to abound with thanksgiving. Abound therein with thanksgiving. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7. And now turn over the page again to Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Well, most Christians honestly don't continue in prayer. Most Christians don't continue in prayer. The Apostle Paul lived a life of prayer. He went as far as saying, I thank God that I pray in tongues more than you all. And a lot of Christians get mad if a preacher says something like that today. But I thank God that I pray in tongues more than everybody in here. That would tick off some people. I had somebody get mad at me, get upset with me not too long ago about something I said about praying in tongues. Like it was just a misunderstanding, really. But I'm telling you, I spend a lot of time praying in tongues. The same amount of time, though, we ought to abound in thanksgiving. What if your thankfulness, what if your thanksgiving to God, what if thanking God was something you did as much as you prayed? Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. We got to ask ourselves why it's not. If we don't thank God in an equivalent amount to the amount of prayer that we give to God, then the reason is because we don't understand what God has already done. And that is why thanksgiving is so important. If you're praying and asking God, go God, please, don't you see? Won't you come? Won't you heal? Da, 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 all this. God, please, and I beg, and can't you see? And will you come and heal? And Lord Jesus, da, 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 da. And there's no thanksgiving on there. Then your prayer is actually just a place of just begging God to do something and not understanding that God has already done what you're asking him to do. Because when you get revelation that God has already done what you're asking him to do, then you're going to get thankful for it. Hallelujah. Because we know that when we ask God for something according to his will, that he hears us. And we know that when he's heard us, that we have the things that we've asked of him. And so that immediately makes you thankful. Hallelujah. So you should be thankful just as much as you pray. Hallelujah. Praise and thanksgiving and rejoicing are like the power triplets on how to receive from God after you have prayed and asked God for something. When you're standing in faith, praise, thanksgiving, and rejoicing. Why? Because those are all things that result from what Jesus did on the cross and in resurrection. Hallelujah. Let me ask you this question, everybody here. Tonight, hallelujah. Jesus did everything on the cross. The work of the cross was not just so that you could be saved. The work of the cross was everything. On the cross, and I don't have time to teach this, but on the cross, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, Jesus took death for every man. Death was hearing problems, vision problems, every physical malady that could ever happen in your life, every financial problem, every financial deficit that could ever happen. Well, I lost my job. Well, that was all put on Jesus on the cross. So when Jesus died on the cross, he went down, and it was our sickness and our death and our sin that put Jesus on the cross and killed him. We were the ones. It was all of the sin of humanity, the death of humanity, that killed Jesus there on the cross. And God the Father turned away and looked away from him, which is really the worst part of that. But the Bible says that God raised him from the dead. Why? Because Jesus had never sinned. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I have to control myself that I don't get distracted and start shouting right now. Hallelujah. But Jesus, God the Father, raised Jesus from the dead because he never sinned. Hallelujah. And we are risen together with him. So what that means is we get the credit of Jesus having never sinned. Well, you don't understand, David. I just can't believe God for this. It's too hard. Da, 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 da. I've got sin. I'm not perfect like Jesus. I'm not perfect like Pastor so-and-so. It's okay. Do the best you can by the blood of Jesus. I'm not saying go out and sin, obviously, but don't let that condemn you. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You get the credit for Jesus having never sinned. Praise God. And so when Jesus rose from the dead, everything was manifest. Well, my manifestation, I'm waiting on my manifestation. I know your flesh maybe is going to see certain manifestations, but you have got to understand that what you're believing God for has already manifested in the flesh, because it manifested in Jesus' flesh when he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is so important that you understand this principle right here. And I preached it at Easter, and I will this upcoming Easter and maybe some more. But this principle that everything you need, everything was put on Jesus on the cross, and that's what killed him. And not only what you need was put on Jesus on the cross, but you were put on Jesus on the cross. That's Romans chapter 6. And so we were all on Jesus. And y'all may remember me telling the story, but we went to Israel in 04 or something like that. I don't remember. And I remember standing at the bottom of a hill, and they had these stones placed into the hill that were made steps. And these were the original stones that were there 2,000 years ago. When they apprehended Jesus, all the soldiers came to Jesus, and they said, "We're looking for Jesus." And Jesus said, "I am he." And all the soldiers fell out under the power. Then they got up. Jesus waited for them to get up from under the power. And then they came and apprehended him. I mean, this is crazy to think. They came with their handcuffs or whatever they were going to bind Jesus with. And he just said, "I am he." Bang, they all hit the ground. And they're all dumb enough to get up after he allows them to get up and then handcuff him or bind him, however they wanted to. And then here goes Jesus with these silly things on him. And obviously he was a lamb led to the slaughter, but he allowed himself to be led. The Bible says he was obedient even to the point of death. Glory to God. So they came and they apprehended Jesus. And after they did, they went up some steps to Caiaphas's house. Caiaphas was the high priest. So these were the very steps that Jesus walked up. It was something about the landscape and the way that area was laid out that this was one of the things that they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt. These are the steps Jesus walked up. We were at the tomb. They weren't sure that that was the tomb that Jesus was buried in. And so I was like, who cares? You know, we don't know if that's even the same one. They just said it's similar. I really was like, But the steps, I was like, these are the real. And I got to walk on the steps, and I'm like, man, Jesus stepped on this rock. The very stone. Jesus' physical body stepped on these very stones. And I'm walking up and down these things. And I didn't feel any supernatural power or anything, but I was just in awe. And I looked up the steps, and I remember thinking, man, Jesus walked up these steps 2,000 years ago. And the Holy Ghost told me right then, and he said, so did you. Because we were put on Jesus. Romans chapter 6. Every single person in here, you went up those steps 2,000 years ago with Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory to God. Hallelujah. I feel thankfulness starting to explode in the house already. This is why, this is the foundation of why you are thankful. The atheist, if you know any atheist, they're going to be the most unthankful people in the world. Why? Because they think they have nobody to be thankful for. They want to be totally self-sufficient because nobody can do anything for them. They can't take anything and have to say thank you because nobody can do something. God can't do anything for them that they would have to acknowledge, so they have nobody to be thankful to. But the Christians, on the other hand, that marks thankfulness. You don't see Hinduism and all these other religions that have the mark of thankfulness on their religion. First of all, because they're a dead religion. But nobody else has anybody. There's no other religion that has any really reason to be thankful other than Christians. Thankfulness marks the life of a Christian. Hallelujah. And you don't see over in India that they're having Thanksgiving Day with all of their religions. No, it was the Christian nation that has Thanksgiving Day to give thanks to God. But this is why. Hallelujah. So being thankful honors and receives what Jesus did on the cross and in resurrection. Hallelujah. So Jesus died on the cross and then he was risen from the dead. Everything that you need and will ever need was done in Christ at that point and in your life. It was already done. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let me present it this way. We like to be thankful and should be thankful for what God has done in our lives because it's past tense. Well, God did this. God supplied money, you know, for all the money that we've needed. I remember not this past summer, but the summer before as we were starting writing the contract on this building. And I wrote up a list of how much money we needed for the remodel. And honestly, I just never looked at it again. It was like $80,000. It would just made me want to cry because we had much less than that. And then we wrote the lease and had to put all the money down that we had and basically had nothing. And so here we go. Hallelujah. And we need $80,000 for this remodel. If you go to any contractor that could see this before and see what it is now, I mean, you're looking $80,000 to $100,000 is what they would charge. And I was like, oh my God, this is really bad. But, you know, God provided the whole thing. I don't know how, I just don't even want to think about how he did it. But God provided the whole thing so we can say, thank you, God, for providing that $80,000, give or take, whatever it was. Thank you, God, for providing all of that money. Thank you, God, for supernaturally turning the heart of the city of Benbrook that was against us that is now supernaturally for us. I'm telling you, I walk into City Hall and I can just feel favor all over the place. The inspector, I walk past his office, he's like, hi, David. Hi, Mark. How's it going? I mean, it's like we're all friends now. It's Benbrook City Hall. I really feel like that. They like David King almost more than anybody else that goes down those hallways. I mean, everybody's happy when I walk in the door now. God, so thank you, God, for that supernatural favor. Why? We thank God for that because it's in our past. It's something that he did for us. However, when Jesus was on the cross and he provided the grace and the supernatural provision and the money that we needed, the $80,000 and then all the other things that we needed, Jesus was on the cross and when he rose from the dead and provided favor and money and everything that we've needed, that this was not, it was not 2022 yet. It was basically the year zero. So there were 2,022 years yet to come before that miracle could happen in the natural that I could be thankful for it. But yet it was provided for on the cross and in resurrection way back then. So we're thankful for something that is in our past. But yet what God is going to do in our future is in Jesus's past. Because what God did last year for us, or earlier this year, or a few months ago, that's in our past. But that's been in Jesus' past for 2,000 years because he dealt with it. He provided that on the cross. It was already done. So you know what? 2 years ago, when we first, a little over 2 years ago, when we first started looking at this building, I could be just like, Lord, I thank you that all the bills are paid for the remodel on this building. I could be totally thankful before it happened, just as much as I am after it happened, because just the same as before it happened in the natural for us or afterwards, it had already happened 2,000 years ago on the cross and in resurrection. The miracle that was in our future was already in Jesus' past. He already did it. Are you following me tonight? I'm not trying to be back to the future and go get the DeLorean or whatever that car was and go back and forth in time and time travel and everything. But the fact of the matter is we were thankful for things that Jesus did in the past. But the things that he's yet to do for us, it's the same root of thankfulness. It's the same provision. It's the same thing. So we can be being thankful to God is not something that's just, oh, he did this, Lord, I thank you for that. But being thankful to God is something that you can do for what has come yet to happen in your future. When you get to the point where you're thankful for God's total healing in your body, when you get to the point when you're truly thankful and not under any stress or pressure for God's total financial provision, for God's provision for your spouse, for your family, whatever it is you desire, whatever it is you're believing God for, whatever it is you need, when you can get to the place where you're totally thankful for what he has yet to do that's in your future, then you're walking at the highest level of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. And that's a place that seals your faith and it secures your faith. So you see, thanksgiving is not just an emotion. Thanksgiving is something that you can step into when your emotions are actually the extreme opposite. When you actually feel mad at God, why hasn't this happened yet? Nope, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that my body is healed. Hallelujah, I thank you, Jesus. I am risen with you into newness of life. I thank you, Lord, you provided this for me. I thank you, my finances are provided. I thank you, Lord, it's already done. Because just as sure as what God's done in your past is it was a blessing, then it's just as sure as what he's about to do for you is a blessing for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So thanksgiving is something that keeps you on track for what God is about to do for your life. Do you see how that all links up? Because our mindset is, I'm thankful for what God did in our past. But we've got to learn to be just as thankful by faith for what he's about to do. And that increases what he's about to do. Because I'm telling you, if we're not thankful, things that we are not thankful for, it limits what God can do. Hallelujah. We're not going to go there right now, but Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, about the lepers. I'm sure you all know the story. The 10 lepers that came to Jesus, they came and Jesus sent them on their way. And as they went, they were healed. One turned around and came and gave thanks. And Jesus was irritated. He said, weren't there 9 others that got healed? Where are they? And the guy didn't say anything. And Jesus said, go your way. You are made whole. What that means is all of them had the disease of leprosy leave their body as they were going. Some of them had fingers missing because leprosy just eats your body away. So they had parts of their body missing. I mean, these people were ghastly, scary people to look at. So one of them came back and said, thank you. And Jesus said, you are made whole. What happened right then? Because he was thankful, his body was totally restored as if he never had leprosy. So if he had some fingers missing, the fingers just grew out right there. Hallelujah. If he had part of his face, part of his knee missing or anything that was gone, it just instantly grew out right there. And he was made completely whole. Why? Because of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Thanksgiving is the doorway for what God is about to do for you. Hallelujah. Thanksgiving is the doorway you walk through for what God is about to do for you. The other 9 were not thankful, and so they missed the doorway for more. When you're thankful for what God has done, you're acknowledging and honoring what he is also about to do for you. It's the same thing. Like I say, Christ is not divided. If you're thankful for what he's done, God, I praise you. That's why when God heals people, when God heals you of anything, when you receive, and it may be a partial healing. Jesus laid hands on the blind man, and he was partially healed. Imagine God Almighty laying hands on somebody, and they're only partially healed. Because he's limited to the faith of the person that's receiving. But the person said, I see men as trees walking. At least he said that. If the man's response had been, I'm not healed. I can't. My vision is not clear. If he had complained after Jesus laid hands on him, his eyes would have just gone back worse. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. There was a lady that called in the power tower years ago. Calvary Cathedral had a power tower. She called in for prayer. This is like 15 years ago. And I had a 6 to 8 a.m. prayer shift on Monday mornings. She called and she was screaming out and shrieking because of all the pain in her body. She had some serious nerve damage in her back and her entire body was in pain. And she could barely even give me the prayer request. And I prayed and I rebuked pain, commanded her to be healed. And she started to shout. She's like, it's gone. All the pain's gone. I have no pain. It is so, there's no pain at all. And before I could stop her, she said, but the pain was so bad and I couldn't even get out of bed and I never could do this. And I'm telling y'all, as sure as I'm standing here, while those words of complaining were coming out of her mouth, she shrieked again because the pain came back just like that. And so she was healed for like 20 seconds, but her stupid mouth got her in trouble because she was not being thankful. And she started to praise the pain and acknowledged that what the devil did more than what God did, and she lost her healing. And I prayed on the phone again, and I couldn't get her healed. Andrew Womack prayed for a lady. It's funny, but it's not funny. He prayed for somebody as a man or woman, I can't remember, came in line, and they were cross-eyed. I mean, the person's eyes were just like that. They had these extreme glasses and took the glasses off, and their eyes were just like that. And this was earlier on in his ministry, and he laid hands on this person, said, I command your eyes to be healed and go straight in the name of Jesus. And the eyes just went doing and went straight like that. And he looked at her and said, looked at the lady and said, I can't believe that. And her eyes went back crooked. And he prayed again and couldn't get her healed again. Thankfulness. You got to praise God for what he did. Do not be quiet about what God has done in your life. For every step that he does. The man said, Jesus prayed for him and his eyes were partially healed. He said, I see men as trees walking. He acknowledged what God did. That was some form of thankfulness. He didn't complain and start talking about how bad it is and all this stuff. And then Jesus prayed for him and he got the rest of his healing. Amen. Hallelujah. So being thankful for what God has done opens the door for what he is about to do. Being thankful for what God has done is the doorway for him to do more of that in your life. It is so powerful. Being thankful honors and receives what God is about to do in your life. You may want to write that down. Being thankful honors and receives what God is about to do in your life. Because what he is about to do is just as real as what he's already done. Why? Because it was all done on the cross. And in resurrection. Your future miracle is already in Jesus' past. It's already done. So being thankful for what's in your past and praising and honoring God for every little thing, it increases what he's about to do. Because it's all the same. You're thankful to Jesus. It's the same with him. There is no time with God. So when you're thankful for what he's done, when you give him honor and give him praise for what he's already done, And you acknowledge that publicly, I'm telling you, you're believing God for something and you see a partial healing or a partial financial breakthrough, you need to tell everybody what Jesus did. Praise God, my legs are a little bit better. I can walk better and never stop saying that and giving God glory for what he did. Don't get back and repeat everything else to the bad and talk about the devil and give the devil honor. Thanksgiving is so, so important. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let me give you some points here. And I'm going to wrap up in just a few minutes. Thankfulness and discouragement are opposites. And I expounded on this yesterday morning on the broadcast, which is on the app if you want to watch and hear this in greater detail. But thanksgiving and discouragement are opposites. Thanksgiving is your safeguard against discouragement. Because discouragement looks at your natural circumstances and begins to receive those negative things into your heart. The devil attacks with discouragement. The devil has a specific attack against all of you at some point of discouragement. And it's actually one of the worst, most demonic, devilish, successful attacks that he has is discouragement. And the reason is because you don't recognize it as the devil. You just get convinced that it's not going to work. You just get convinced that your faith has failed, that you're not going to succeed, and all these reasons and why it's not going to work, and you begin to get discouraged. But the whole problem here is you're focusing on yourself. Thankfulness is focusing on Jesus. Discouragement will never work against you when you're focusing on Jesus and what he did on the cross and in resurrection. Why? Because the work was thorough. Well, you don't understand, David, I got mad and I cussed the other day, so my faith stand is over with. God's not going to honor him. No. Jesus's faith, what Jesus did on the cross and in resurrection was thorough. So he covered the fact that you got mad and you said something bad, and he's forgiven you and washed you clean by his blood. So you're the righteousness of God and you were not condemned. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No matter what it is that you're believing God for, no matter how good your faith is or anything, or how bad you think it is, it's all been covered. Jesus took care of it all at the cross. Hallelujah. Amen. So discouragement is always an attack of the devil. But the problem is, we get into discouragement because we see how we have failed, how circumstances are bad, how we think it's not going to work. And what you're actually allowing to take place is you are taking in Satan's plan for your life and pushing out God's plan. Why? Because you receive discouragement and you're pushing out thankfulness. When thankfulness gets away from you, so does the work of the cross. When thankfulness gets away from you, when you let it out, and it's always a decision. Well, you don't understand, David, it was just so bad, I had no choice but to be discouraged. I understand that it feels that way, but it's always a choice. Discouragement is always a choice. Fear is always a choice. I don't care how bad things look. Fear is always a choice. That's why Jesus, when he came to the disciples walking on the water and the storm was raging and all this, and they all thought they were going to die, he said, "It is me, be of good cheer." Why in the world does that matter? Because of these principles right here. You can't take in what the devil is doing and let that get into your heart. You've got to be thankful and let God and his work prevail. Hallelujah. Thankfulness is so powerful. It is your safeguard against discouragement. That's number one. Being thankful for what God has done in your life and in resurrection is the doorway for what he's about to do. I've already given you that. Point number three, thankfulness keeps the light of God on in your life, and unthankfulness turns it off. Thankfulness keeps the light of God on in your life. You know what? I'm thankful for all the chairs that we have in here. God provided them for us. But if we were to turn all the lights off, and it was pitch dark, and I said, "Everybody make a mad dash for the door." You know what? Some of y'all would be so mad at that chair because it hit you in the shin and bruised you or broke a toe because you're making a mad dash for the door. The same chairs that we're thankful for, if you turn the lights off, you're going to be mad at that chair. Some person not here tonight, but somebody else might actually cuss the chair. Thank God for these chairs. Hallelujah. God provided for us. But if you were to be running across this sanctuary with the lights out, stub your toe on the chair, you get so mad at that stupid blankety blank chair because it broke your toe. Yeah. That's unthankfulness. That's what I'm saying. Thankfulness keeps the lights on. When you get unthankful, what you're allowing the devil to do, and you get unthankful and discouraged, what you're allowing the devil to do is to turn the lights off. Now, this doesn't turn off all the lights in the building. I have to hide this because Caroline will steal it. And one time before church, about a month ago, the spotlights are going on and off and on and off. And I'm like, "What is Vern doing back there?" And I'm looking around and I'm like, "What is Vern?" And they keep going on and off. And I turn around. I'm going to find Vern. I'm like, "Vern, what is going on?" And I turn the corner and look, and Caroline's sitting over there with this remote going, and she's turning the lights off and turning them back on. Just like this. But if you're unthankful, that's what you do. You just turn the lights off. Everything goes dark. God's done all this stuff. God's provided all the chairs, provided the building. I mean, leveled the ceiling. I don't know what a big deal it was. The fact that we had a wall here. And, you know, there are three famous walls in the history of man. The wall of Great Wall of China, the Berlin Wall, and the Gerda Spelman Wall that was here. That stupid wall had Gerda Spelman on it for so long. Oh, my gosh. I was so glad to see that thing go. We have so much to be thankful for, but if you turn the lights off, you can't see anything. That's what discouragement is. You let the devil come and turn the lights off, and you start to focus. You get unthankful, you get discouraged, and you start to focus on everything the devil's doing. Yeah. And then what God has for you just begins to get further and further away. And that the danger of that, y'all, is if you allow that to happen, if you allow yourself to get discouraged, if you allow yourself to step into unthankfulness, you literally can miss some things that God wants to do for you. I mean, that's the power of being thankful. Thankfulness is a safeguard against that. Thankfulness is a safeguard against discouragement. Discouragement, I'm telling you, can be so demonic. You can wake up in the morning and it's a great day, but if you let yourself yield to discouraging thoughts for 2 hours in the afternoon, you can be suicidal by the end of that day. I mean, in the morning, it was a great day. All the sun was shining, the birds were chirping, and everything was great. By the end of the day, you're ready to commit suicide because you're so discouraged. You cannot let that take place. Thankfulness is your safeguard. Thankfulness, because when that discouragement is coming, it seems so convincing. Because there may be circumstances in the natural that really are negative, that really are bad. And if they were to play out, you would experience loss. But the thing is, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He's greater and bigger than all of that. And you cannot logic and think your way through those circumstances and try to figure out how God's going to do and da-da-da-da-da. You've got to push that aside. Discouragement is always going to come at your mind. Thankfulness is going to come from your spirit. You've got to know the difference. Discouragement's always going to come in your thoughts. Thankfulness is always going to be released out of your spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thankfulness keeps the light of God on in your life, and unthankfulness turns it off. Thankfulness, number four, is being thankful for what God has done for you and equally being thankful for what He's going to do. I've talked about that a lot already. Number five, thankfulness is a setting of the heart. It's not an emotion. Set your heart by faith to be thankful, and you'll be positioned to receive everything that God has for you. Amen? Amen. Did you learn something tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, why don't you stand up on your feet tonight? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. We praise you tonight. Lord, in this season of thankfulness, we determine and set that we are going to be thankful. Hallelujah. We are not allowing discouragement in or unthankfulness. Lord, we are going to be thankful and honor you. Hallelujah. For everything that you have done. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory to God. We thank you, we praise you this evening, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for your provision that is perfect, your healing that is perfect, your love that is perfect towards us, that has provided everything. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We give you the thanks and we give you the praise tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, for thankful hearts on every single person. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Now just give God 30 seconds of praise and a shout right now. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We honor you for what you've done. We will not honor and praise the devil with unthankfulness and discouragement anymore. But we honor and we praise you, Lord, for what you've done. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory to God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, grab your seats. We're just going to take a little thankful moment here. Vern, you can go ahead and turn off the live stream. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I said be prepared to tell everybody what you're thankful for. Amen. So let's start. I'm going to start with Perla, all the way at the back. I'm just going to pass.